Startup Stimmen, der Podcast für Gründungsinteressierte vom REACH Euregio Startup Center.
Welcome to another episode of the Dutch 40U Tech Startups Podcast. I'm your host, Vera Boertien, and today we're recording this live from Enschede Slush, so I'm really, really excited. And today's topic will be impact, because there's a lot of talk about it. You hear it all over. You have to make impact. So today we're going to dive into what does it mean and how do you actually make impact. And to discuss this topic, I invited two guests. They're sitting next to me. So maybe it's best to introduce yourself first.
Yes. Well, thank you for having us. My name is Meryl McConnell. I am an impact associate at Lumo Labs. And Lumo Labs is an impact-driven multi-stage investment fund. And we invest at the intersection of tech and impact. By tech, we invest on AI data, blockchain, digital security, IoT, AR, VR. And by impact, we invest in one of these three or four SDGs: good health and well-being, quality education, sustainable cities and communities, and climate action.
Yeah, so you have a clear picture of what impact is.
Indeed.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, we'll get back to that in a second. First, I want to introduce the other guest, and that's Bas Kerkwijk.
Yes, colleague of yours, of course, and recently started director of novelty.
So you're my boss, basically.
Yeah, but let's not talk in that way to each other, right? I don't like that. So no. Just recently started. I'm from the region, actually, so I'm a real tucker, as we call it. I have a history as a UT alumni, and I also worked in industry for like 25 years. And the last 7 years before I joined Novelty, I was actually working also in a spin-off from the university itself, making impact in something that's called deep tech, as we call it.
Yeah. So we already discussed that Meron has a very clear picture of what impact is. So before we dive into that, I want to hear from you. What's impact to you?
Impact to me is a diffuse, so I was thinking about that a lot actually in preparation. So the impact to me and the organization as we are running is a very diffuse picture, because Novelty as an organization is funded by a couple of regional parties. So two knowledge institutions, the university and the high school. And we also have the local authority, the gemeente Enschede. We have the province, and we have the Twente Board Development, which is basically the funder of all the regional fundings that come from national government. The reason I'm saying is it's diffuse, because I recently hosted, as together with a couple of colleagues, a session on impact with my five founders and their program teams. And the result of that is that for me, and how that translates to us, it was very difficult to extract what we call impact. But impact, for me, in essence, to novelty is how do we get innovation going in terms of starting new businesses, helping grow new businesses in, let's say, a variety of sort of target areas, a bit connected to the region. So especially a lot in chip tech, med tech, high-tech systems, materials. Those are the couple of, I would say, I'm just selecting a couple, there's more, but those focus areas on where we can actually get business growing, innovation started, those kind of things.
Yeah.
We're not per se measuring it yet, I think, against all the SDGs that are out there in the world. But we do it sometimes implicitly. If you see, let's say, impact, if you look at diversity, 35% of the speakers at this event are actually female. So this, it's not like we're advocating it. We're doing it implicitly. We're making it part of our normal day-to-day business. So
next year, 50-50?
I would love that. But then I think the for me, in those areas, it's always just do it. You don't need to per se always mention it or emphasize it. Just make sure you freaking do it. That's, I think, the most important. If you talk about diversity in this case, as one of the impact parts.
But yeah.
Long story, as always, as you know me.
So how's that for you, Miron? Does that align with your vision of impact, or do you have a different definition?
Indeed, I do agree with also Bas. We can also say we are an impact-driven fund. We work in impact, I work in impact. But then the more you dive into it, it also makes you think, the more I don't know in this area.
Yes.
the reason for is it's still quite an early field if you compare it to other conventional type of investments. And it's also quite subjective to the particular fund that you're operating with. Generally, what is defined as impact investments are investments made with the intention to generate positive social or environmental outcome and measurable outcome alongside a financial return. If we look at the very definition of impact, or if we break it down, we look into three main things. One is the intentionality part of it. You are doing this investment with a deliberate action, with a clear mission and vision to generate certain positive outcome on it. And you measure it. It's not a matter of stating, hey, I am an impact-driven fund, but then how do you exactly measure this impact?
Yeah.
So as to show it's not just a matter of something statement, right? And it's different also from philanthropy. Impact investments thinks that, okay, we can have impact, but at the same time, we can get these financial returns. So that's the basic or the definition of what impact investment is. For us at Lumo, the way we look into impact is in line with the SDGs. We think that the SDGs are a bridge towards more regenerative culture. Previously, there was a time where we were doing harm to nature, right? But yeah. Now we are doing things to nature, things that are positive. And we think that these SDGs are a bridge towards that. For us, we look into impact in terms of the four SDGs, the health. Is it in line with quality education? Is it in line with sustainable cities and communities and climate action? And we build our thesis around it.
Yeah. I really love how structured your answer is, by the way. yeah, but before this podcast, I was also thinking about it, like, what does impact mean to me? And it really comes down to what you say, that creating a positive impact, and to me, it's especially creating a positive impact for people. So do you see that in a similar way?
Positive impact to people, in what way do you mean that? Just a...
Well, it's
feed a bit.
You know, it's creating a positive impact on the climate is eventually also mm-hmm. positive for people, so yeah. that you know yeah. people are central to it. That yeah. Yeah. The, you know, enabling yeah. the well-being Understand. Of people. Yeah.
I love that.
This is I'll touch on the, for instance, like climate or circularity. You know, one of the things that I've learned also in the first 8 months at Novelty in the support we're providing to businesses is that. Somehow, for those businesses, and of course we're how do you call that? Amtelijk? What's that in English? I actually don't know. Like a governmental
yeah.
like thing. So we're okay. like basically we're civil servants, right? So a civil servant saying to an entrepreneur, "You need to do this. You need to do that." Entrepreneur will never do it. He will say, "Challenge me." If you challenge the entrepreneur, he'll do it. The thing is, from a government perspective, there's quite a lot of initiatives that always drive around. You need to do something in circularity. As soon as you come to an entrepreneur with like, okay, we're part of the circularity program, the entrepreneur will say, I don't know what I need to do with that. So I think the challenge there is how do you connect the business model or the business from that company, and that you somehow challenge that entrepreneur together with other entrepreneurs to basically make that part of their business model, rather than focus just on the circularity as a topic or an impact that you can create. It's how can you challenge, I mean, show them the example of the entrepreneur next door. I mean, if you look at the region here, like quite a lot of SMEs. I mean, I've heard so many stories that there's another government body coming to them saying, you need to do something on circularity. Oh, we have a program on circularity. And that's typically, I would almost call it, it's almost like a show off. No, not a show off, it's the wrong word. It's like a push off. Like, I don't know what that means to me. Or how do I integrate that into my business? So I think this is one of the challenges that if you think about impact and hopefully the way, and I think that's the way we're doing it in supporting those businesses, that we also look at those impact topics
yeah.
and then supporting the business going that way.
I think that's a nice bridge to the next topic that I wanted to cover. How do you actually make impact? Because you run an investment fund and you invest in impact-driven startups. So how do you qualify them? How do you say, okay, this is actually making impact, or this is just a startup who says they're making impact?
Yeah. Oh, sorry. It's a very good question. How we start is we start our impact journey early with the startup. So it's part of our screening to check, hey, this fits in our impact thesis or not. So during our scouting, or when we search for a company, we look into those that fit in into our thesis, and we ask the company to make an impact statement. Where do you guys see your impact, or where is it heading towards? Considering we are an early stage investment fund and we invest in early stage startup, it might be the case that the company has been around for a few years and also don't know where they're heading towards. And in that impact statement evaluation, you see the maturity of the company and how they view of impact.
Right.
During due diligence, that means after that stage passed, we ask the company's due diligence form, and then in that form, we say, okay, where is your ESG consideration, for instance? How do you view it? And then this will be integrated, or this will be part of our investment decision-making process. Once we invest or post-investment, our role as an impact-driven fund that also provide our network and expertise is to support the companies to say, hey, where are you heading towards? What is your impact growth trajectory? Is it in line with international standards or not? And we go hand in hand with them throughout that journey. But I also do like what you mentioned, Bas, about we should not consider as the impact part of it different from the financial part. These two should go hand in hand. In order for a business to become, let's say, impactful, it needs to be sustainable. Yep. The finance should be there, it should grow, and then hence it could make impact. And the impact, I should also rightfully mentioned earlier, it is going to be across the board for everyone. It's yeah. about the people. It's about the quality of life, about being, becoming, and belonging. And then if that is the case, that's when we say, hey, we are making a big impact. But as an early stage investment fund, we're also quite early in terms of measuring the impact. Where do we see it? How do we see it? But one thing that we can provide is the tools and the means necessary for the startups on their impact growth journey.
Yeah.
Well, can I ask a question on that?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Because the one thing that, how do you as an investment fund balance out decision making on impact versus return on investment? Because it's always like, in the end, if you're an investment fund, it's in principle about the money, right? There needs to be some return. So how do you balance out the return you might receive or get on an investment versus, like, where's the balance? Where's the balance in decision making? Like, if the impact can be high but the return is very low, do you still then invest, or how do you make that decision? Because that's really, I'm asking because I think it was 3 days ago, there was in the Financieel Dagblad, there was like, I don't know if you read it.
I mean, saw it.
Yeah, it was a two-pager on actually impact-driven funds.
Yeah.
And it was, it always goes from very positive, like you have the positive examples, you have the ones that actually use the impact part as a varnish around what they're doing. But in the end, it comes down to the money, right? So I'm curious about that. So.
Yeah. Well, an impact-driven fund, it's not a philanthropy for sure.
Yeah, exactly. What
differs impact fund is we are of a belief that you can make both this impact and financial return go hand in hand. Mm-hmm. And if you integrate that centrally or before the pre-investment part of it in the minds and thoughts of these founders, and then you are supporting them throughout that stage, it will be in their heart. Mm-hmm. They shouldn't go separately. Mm-hmm. I think also I might have a bit of a strong stand in here, but we are not at a stage where we are going to say the world is all green, we are only looking after the money, and then let's not forget we are, I don't want to panic anyone, but we are in a red zone. We have to do something about the climate, the changing demography and everything that's come along with it. There is this graph that I like with this researcher called Rick, and he shows a line of us starting from the beginning where now. There was a time where things were conventional. Nobody cared about the earth. Everybody does it as a work. There was a time where we started becoming green, which is doing a little bit less harm, but still there was harm. And then we started becoming sustainable, meaning we are not going to do anything that is going to harm. We're going to do something productive. Yeah. And then we go to a stage of a restorative culture, meaning human beings doing things to nature as an external, not as nature. And then we are now to the path of regenerative, meaning human being doing things as nature.
Yeah.
We have to have that proactive measure, and we have to do that deliberate action in order to bring a measurable outcome on Earth. So my owner recap, my thought is they should not go separately. No. It should be hand in hand.
I fully agree. Yeah. I was just curious how you balance out that decision making there. But what you're saying is you're actually pulling it really forward into your decision making process on whether to invest or not.
Yeah.
And then during the process, as you see, that might still, if the company does make a lot of impact in the right way as you want it to be, you would accept a lower return on investment, should that be the case?
I'm
just making it very black and white.
Yeah, it's a good question. It's a good question. Also, one thing to note here is if it was a company that has been around, let's say, 10, 15 years, that has already been developed, let's say, company pre-series A stage, you have all the metrics and data to show, hey, you can compare the impact here versus the financial stage. But we tap in a company quite early. The company has been around 2-3 years. And there is not also data, or there is no dilemma where we have to check, hey, there is impact, there is financial. But then us tapping in early also give us the flexibility to guide the company in the right direction, so that there won't be this kind of conflict in terms of, hey, there is impact or there isn't. So that's also what makes it more flexible for us. Okay.
So a lot of founders are listening to this conversation right now, so I want to make it like very tangible to them. One thing that's necessary for them to make impact, what you said, is like a very clear vision of where you want to go with it. What other ingredients are necessary to be able to create impact?
I would say it's all about the maturity level and openness towards these kinds of notion. Of course, impact for us will be defined as per the SDGs, but for a different fund that might be different. It's also about the mindset on what you want to achieve in the world. I'm pretty sure I've met a lot of founders by now. Everyone want to make an impact. They want to make something different.
Yeah, they're not in it for the money, but they're really in it to make a better world.
Exactly, but they could also be in the money, but we can look at it both hand in hand. We can look at it together. When you reach out, for instance, to an impact-driven fund like ours, what you can do is, of course, check our website, for instance, gather the data, so that you can be a good impact storyteller when you reach out to these kinds of things. But there are also a lot of communities out there, impact communities that you can join in, that you can also share experience and get tools or whatever necessary. There are also several international organizations like the UNPRI who provide all the tools and resources either for startups or for investors to develop their impact thesis.
Those are great tips. And Bas, when it comes to you, what would you say is necessary to create impact?
Impact for us as an organization and the way we are working with businesses is really about innovation, changing the world through innovation. So a lot of the things that we do, or most of the things that we do, is all aimed at pure innovation. What we do, and we're actually in the process as an organization of developing that a little bit more, is then understanding through that innovation, like, okay, what kind of startups, scale-ups are we actually supporting in terms of a sort of, like, I always call them a little bit of selection criteria. For us, it's a bit more diffuse. I think as an investment fund, you can really make a very clear decision because it's your money. This is where you want to go. For us, the target is innovation, and then a couple of selection criteria in terms of, like, the types of businesses we want to help forward, and we want to match them against what is important for the region. But as an example, I'm pretty sure we would not be helping out or supporting out a business that really is into developing something new for fossil fuels, you know, that kind of thing. So it's almost like a no-brainer, but it's a part for us as an organization that we're developing. And this is why I'm interested also to see how we look at how all our founders are actually working on how they measure or how they quantify impact, because that's also an interesting topic. I've talked to researchers in that impact session from, like, the Saxion High School, from the university, and they all come up with, for all the right reasons, I'm not criticizing that, but one is saying, okay, actually, from these studies, it's very difficult to quantify. Would you not rather describe it more qualitatively? Impact for me in terms of new businesses for the local authorities would be like, how many new businesses are we actually helping to start? Whereas for, like, another another founder, it could be more important. Just the one story is enough if it's a qualitative story that really shows the impact, right? We have this example. Recently I've used this example of the J58 company, the one that actually developed the wheelchair that helps you stand up as if you're impaired. And then, so the qualitative story there is, okay, actually I can look my partner in their eyes again. So on an equal level, that's an impact story from a quality of life perspective, which is just one story. If you tell it, you get goosebumps. But is that enough? So it's always finding that balance, which is which I find it's an interesting challenge, you know, because you can also say, okay, actually, we helped start 300 businesses this year. That's also an impact. We helped maybe two companies, and one of them actually is that story. So where does that match, or how does it? I find that interesting. I think it's a continuing developing story, but I do find the impact is one of the important parts of the things that we are doing as an organization. And I also find it a challenge in describing or feeding back to your founders. In this case, it could be for your LP partners, or if it's only, I mean, wherever it's being funded from, like, how do you tell that story back, and how does that land with the receiver? I find that
it's hard to put your finger on what exactly is impact, though you could use the SDGs to measure it to some extent. But what I do gather from this conversation is that mindset, wanting to do good for the world, that's the most important part. Is there anything else that you want to advise to founders who are already running an impact-driven startup, maybe, who really want to change the world for the better? What will you say to them?
I think every one of us are doing this one step at a time in our own beautiful ways. Same applies to startups. When we review pitch decks, and let's say if it's not a fit for our impact thesis, we might reject the startup, but that doesn't mean the startup is not making impact, right? It also depends on the particular investment fund that you're working on. But I do understand also from our side how it's challenging to show the impact, but also measure it and do it. At this stage, what I would also agree is everything that we do, or at least at this stage, it's more quantitative, or in terms of putting it into statements, in theory of change, or these kinds of documentation. Considering the early stage, we also don't have the number. So what we are also trying to do, or trying to prove with the founders, is, hey, we are together, let's try to build this thing together. So having, there are investors out there that are also giving their hand to walk hand in hand with the founders. It's just finding the right partner for you and then heading towards it.
So basically you're saying to founders, investors aren't that scary.
100%. Look at me.
Exactly. Look at today's event, you know. You have all the startups and investors just on equal level, walking through the areas and just bumping into each other.
Yeah, it's the perfect day to get in touch with investors, I think.
And I would say to founders anybody that has started a business, like, let's call it 99 out of 100, I would say they do that from either a personal motivation for something, or something that they typically, the entrepreneur, because it's all, and they're all entrepreneurs, right? So they're stubborn minded. They have a thought they can do it better than others. And like in most of the cases, that is driven by something we want to do better than what is out there, which typically is already somehow a connection to making an impact, right? Sometimes it's an impact from a personal perspective. Yesterday I learned something about the F model, which is about your personal motivation, freedom, fun, what was it? Fortune or fame.
Okay,
right. Like as the four personal drivers for why you want to do something, which was very interesting actually. It was from a CEO from AirFi, a company that provides like the mobile stuff for airplanes, so not like the one tier one air carriers, but the smaller ones. But I found that very interesting, like, and that's constantly shifting between founders of companies, like what is their personal motivation on why they're doing what they're doing at this stage. But for me, any founder, we're almost kicked out, right? I get funny faces from people there. But like any founder is very likely driven by making an impact somehow anyway. So whether you match that against SDGs or whether you match that against something else, I mean, it is what it is, but they want to make an impact. So I would say, just say to founders, just go on with it.
Just do it.
Don't stop. Don't stop.
So just do it and
do it, fail.
Make, do it together with an investor early on, basically.
100%,
Well, Meron and Bas, thank you so much for joining me on this podcast episode. And enjoy the rest of the day.
Thank you.
Thank you for hosting us.
Reach, from science to startup.